SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson and Mike Prater with you, and our pleasure to bring in from MassinSports.com, the Nationals writer Ben Gessling is with us here on the show. How you doing today, Ben?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well. Real quick, because I know that the Nats have been busy recently. They just made the trade for Tom Gorzolani from the Cubs. Some people are a little worried that they gave up a little bit too much for someone who's kind of not really going to be a part of the future per se. I mean, what was kind of the Nationals thinking on that trade, and why would they bring in someone like that at this point?
Well, I think they feel like he's still got some upside. That's kind of how they were selling it, I guess. Mm-hmm. When you give up three prospects, to me, you want to sell it a little more strongly than that. But they feel like this guy can still be in the rotation and still has some ceiling to get better. He's left-handed and he throws in the mid-90s. So from a, you know, kind of a scout speak perspective, that's why you go after him. Yeah, there's been some things said about the prospects they gave up. I'm a little perplexed that they gave up Michael Burgess to get him. The other two guys, A.J. Morris and Graham Hicks, I don't see as being as big of a deal. Burgess puzzled me a little bit, but we can get into that a little more as to why I think they did it. But, yeah, I don't think Gorzolani is going to alter the rotation by any means, but I think they're hoping he can be a back-end starter, and pitching is expensive these days, whether you get it on the free agent market or by trade. So they had to do something, and that's what they had to give up to get it.
All right, why'd they get rid of Burgess, Ben?
Well, I think the big part of that is you've got Bryce Harper coming up at some point. They play the same position. Burgess could beat Harper to the major leagues by a year or two, but Burgess projects as a right fielder. Harper projects as a right fielder. I think they felt like this guy is expendable, and he's still only 22. He's got some upside in terms of a power hitter. He's got a good arm. The one thing I would say with him is he was striking out a lot. So he's a guy that you wanted to see the plate approach get a little bit better. But he's a guy that still has plenty of upside that people feel like can project into a right fielder. So one of their better chips, ideally you'd not like to give him up, but they've got a few outfielders in the system, most notably Bryce Harper. So I think they felt like he was expendable at this point and put him in there to sweeten the deal a little bit for the Cubs.
Now, big picture, they of course the offseason sign started with the big Jason Worth signing, and then there was a lot of nothing and then a few things this week. But yet Mike Rizzo said he thought that they had a great offseason. And, you know, maybe that's selling just what they did, but is there an argument out there that they actually did have a great offseason, even though they didn't get the Matt Garzas, the Carl Pavanos, and all those, the Zach Greinkes and all those guys?
I think great is too strong, quite simply. Obviously, he has to say that. I'm sure Mike is, you know, thinking it was great in the sense that they've made a lot of moves. I like the Jason Worth deal more than I understand it. I understand why they had to pay as much as they did. Adam LaRoche, I think in an ideal world, they probably would have rather had Derek Lee so that they could do it for a year and then gear up for a Prince Fielder run next year. But Adam LaRoche is going to be their guy for a couple of years. I think that move can work. I don't think it was a great offseason, and I don't think it was going to be a great offseason unless you got that pitcher, and they obviously didn't. I think that was a little bit of a pipe dream in some senses anyway. They obviously would have been long shots for Cliff Lee, and the trade price for Zach Greinke would have been, in my mind, too expensive. Maybe they would have made the deal. But to me, if you didn't get a guy like a Cliff Lee, you weren't going to be able to call it great, because that's what it would have taken to put them over the top. They made some moves. I think they should be better. But if you were talking about being a competitive team in 2011, you needed a pitcher, and they don't have it. So I think they can be in the 70-something win neighborhood, but great off-seasons don't get you there.
Ben Gessling with us here, SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater here on 106.7 The Fan. Ben, you can check him out on MassinSports.com. The Gessling Game is the blog. And, Ben, you know, Adam LaRoche, a lot was made of last year when the case was being built against Adam Dunn, that, boy, they just needed to get a better defensive infield course, most of the errors came from the middle of the infield throughout the season, but people would say, well, Adam Dunn had something to do with that. LaRoche comes in. You know, he, certainly nobody questions his defense, you know, ability to stay on the field and bat, I guess, would be the things you would wonder about. But do you think this infield is suddenly markedly better, and do you think that will translate on the field as far as the wins and losses are concerned?
Well, I think I wrote something a couple of weeks ago. I think sabermetrically they project to be about 20 runs better or something overall.
Okay.
The additions they made, assuming everybody has the same year that they did last year. Now, that assumes Ian Desmond makes 34 errors again. I think they will be better defensively. I think it will help Ian Desmond somewhat at first base, but, I mean, Ian Desmond needs to get better on his own. He can't make 34 errors again, quite simply. And there were times where he would make a high throw, and having a 6'7" first baseman over there would save him, too. So I think on balance, Adam LaRoche is going to help you defensively. I'm not sure it's worth getting rid of the offensive production Adam Dunn brought, but I think defensively they will get better. But if they're going to get a lot better, that's got to be on Ian Desmond. That can't be them saying, okay, well, we've got a better target for him at first base now. He'll just naturally get better by osmosis. He's got to make steps to tighten things up on his own, and I think if he does that, they'll have a very good left side of the infield.
Now, obviously, the roster in the last 2 years has been almost completely overturned. I think there are two players left from the 2009 opening day roster, maybe three. Does it surprise you at all that Rizzo turned it over this quickly into kind of his, I guess, style of play?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that he would turn it over, because that 2009 opening day roster was largely built by Jim Bowden.
Right.
And you have guys like Adam Dunn and Josh Willingham to an extent on that roster that were Bowden guys. Austin Kearns is probably another one. There's a different value placed on athleticism, speed, defense under Rizzo than there was under Bowden. Bowden was very into, it's almost become a parody now, but the tools, the outfielders, the guys that could hit 30 home runs and maybe you put up with 130 strikeouts, that was the kind of guy he liked, and he had a lot of those guys. Rizzo is after a different type of guy. So it doesn't surprise me that he would turn it over. Maybe that he did it so quickly is a little bit surprising, but Mike Rizzo is a baseball rat. I mean, he's working all the time, working on deals all the time, trying to find any little thing he can to make the team better. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised that he did it this quickly. It doesn't surprise me that he would do it, though, because I think he's after something different than Jim Bowden was.
Do you find it kind of funny, though, that and I know this wasn't the total selling point on not bringing Dunn back, but one of the knocks, of course, besides the fielding, was the strikeouts, and then you bring in LaRoche, who's a guy who, well, he strikes out a lot, too.
Yeah, and I think most first basemen you're going to find will strike out,
sure,
a fair amount. LaRoche, in terms of his power numbers, is pretty much an average first baseman, so the question becomes, did you need to give 2 years plus an option to a guy who's kind of a league average first baseman? Adam Dunn, I think the big issue with Adam Dunn was more his defense. I think you can kind of live with the strikeouts because he does walk a lot. He hits a lot of home runs. But I think the defense was a bigger issue, and I think they felt like he probably could have worked a little harder at it. I mean, he put in his work, but I know there were a few people in the organization that felt like, okay, this guy, if he really wants to get to the point where he's not a liability defensively and is even somewhat of a minor asset, he can be doing even more than he was. So I think that went into the decision a little bit. I know there were certainly people in the organization that says, this guy hits too many home runs to let him go. We need to keep him. So a lot of that went into it, too. But, Adam LaRoche certainly isn't going to bring the on-base percentage or the power numbers that Adam Dunn did at first base, and nobody should be expecting him to.
We're about a month away from spring training. Pitchers and catchers reporting. For some, what do you think are kind of the big spring training storylines to kind of watch? Not necessarily like the season storylines, but what do you think that we should be watching in spring training? You know, maybe position battle, maybe kind of, you know, someone who's emerging. You know, what do you think that we should be watching?
Well, I think position wise, they're fairly set. I guess if there was a position battle to watch, it would be somewhat in left field. They're planning to platoon there now, if it were me, I would give Michael Morris every chance to take that job. I think he's got more of an upside than Roger Bernardino. He's not the same defensive player, but in my mind, they need something more offensively than what they have. And if you're going to sacrifice defense at two positions, it's going to be first base and left field. Well, they didn't do it at first base, and they don't have as much power as they did there, so they've got to make up for some of that in left. So I think that will be a platoon, but for me, I would give Michael Morris a chance to take that job and run with it. Danny Espinosa is a guy that I think needs to show something. He's kind of coming in as the unquestioned starter at second base, and I think they kind of want to do with him what they did with Desmond last year and just give him some leash and let him go with it. But if he's striking out a lot and if he's not getting on base, the Nationals are going to have a couple of hitters that kind of do that already. Desmond is one of them. So watching him and seeing if he can take that job and go without them needing to consider Jerry Harrison or Alex Cora is another thing in my mind. And then the second catcher spot is the other one. Jesus Flores is going to be back. The Nationals think he's healthy. But Wilson Ramos, they also like a lot. One of those two guys is going to make the roster. I think only one of them will make it. I think they'll keep two catchers, and Pudge Rodriguez is going to be the other one. So there's going to be a fight for that spot, too. And then the pitching, obviously, is the other big question mark.
Well, Ben, appreciate your time. Always good to get your insights. Again, Masson Sports, the Gesslin game. Go check out Ben's work. And, hey, thanks for giving some time here on SB Nation Radio.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, Ben Gesslin with us here on SB Nation Radio. I want to remind folks, again, Facebook page, SB Nation Radio. Become a fan, like it, and also follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio. I think that's it. I think that's going to do it, Mike.
That'll do it.
I think I'm out of thoughts.
For Mike
Freda, go check out SB Nation DC, obviously, for all your sports needs in the nation's capital, and Mike's site, Bullets Forever, as well. I'm Scott Jackson saying so long. Thanks to Othello for all the work behind the scenes here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.